In looking at this subject, we were having a study with the Atlanta Brethren on the book of Ezekiel, and one thing we noted in that book was how many times God said, "I will do this, I will do that," over and over and over again. And the book of Ezekiel seems to be primarily about the message given to Brother Russell. And he's called the Son of Man in Ezekiel there. And when you read that, of course, in the scriptures, our Lord Jesus is primarily the Son of Man. But there are many places where some of the ancient worthies are referred to as that. And in the book of Ezekiel, we believe it's the seventh messenger that's being referred to there. And what God tells him is a real good thing for us, too. Is when he would minister, he was to not be afraid of them. He was sent to the ministers where we're not particularly, although that seems to be my lot in witnessing it in the narrow way. We've had the opportunities to witness to a lot of ministers. But anyway, he told him not to be afraid of them, not to be afraid of their words, and not to be dismayed at their looks. And I thought that was real good advice for us in the narrow way, too, as we're sharing things with others. We shouldn't have any negative reactions to anything. And that would be good brotherly kindness. As we looked at, so I thought, okay, I wonder how many times the scriptures say, "I will," and are they mostly from God or mostly others saying, "I will"? And we find that as if you do a search, we have the e-sort I use all the time, and you do a search and you tell it to search for the exact phrase and put in "I will." You will get, I need to get my glasses on. You will get 1,533 verses with 1,916 hits, which means many verses that say "I will" two and three times in the same verse, even. And so, God puts a test out for gods to find out if idols or other ones are actually gods. And we wanted to read a couple of translations on that, or maybe a few of them. And the NIV, this is in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 21. And here's what God says. "Present your case, says the Lord," capital L-O-R-D. "Set forth your arguments," says Jacob's king. "Tell us, you idols, what is going to happen. Tell us what the former things were, like how was creation." We had that really stuck out to me on this trip, because last week I was watching a DVD about the fossils in the western United States, and you know, they were all of these fabulous fossil imprints that were there, and talked about the dinosaurs and the bones and all of this. And then of course they end up throwing in, "And it evolved at such and such, and this was 25 million years ago, and this was 40 million years ago, and this was 10 and all of this." And they're what they call science, or science falsely so called in that case. They are not believing God, because in the Bible it gives us the exact chronology of the seventh day, which is 7,000 years long. So all of the other creative days were that same day length too. 7,000 years. So if you look at any animal fossils or the of land animals, they were created on the sixth day. So the maximum time back would be 14,000 years. And then of the fish and birds, they were created on the fifth day. So 21,000 years back is absolute max for any of that that you would see. And then the plants, they were created on the third day. Look at our little chart there. And so 35,000 years ago, maximum for the plant fossils that we see there. So it's all happened a pretty short time ago. But what's that show us? Tell us what the former things were. God told us what the former things were. He told us what the creative sequence is. Geology and looking at fossils and everything like that give you a fabulous record of that. But then they put, and they know the time sequences pretty well of what things followed what. It matches the scriptures. But they're just way off on the total time. And so he says, tell us what the former were so that we may consider them and know their final outcome, or declare unto us things to come. Tell us what the future holds so that we may know that you are gods. Do something, whether good or bad, so that we may be dismayed and filled with fear. But you are less than nothing, and your works are utterly worthless. Whoever chooses you is detestable. That was out of the NIV. In the King James, it says, for the same scripture, Isaiah 41, verses 21 through 24, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us of things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, you are thing, and your work not an abomination is he that chooseth you. So the idols have no way of doing anything. And our Heavenly Father, how does it that he knows the future so well? What's he say? He tells what he's going to do, and then he does it. As simple as that. So, this is the God test right here. Let's see if God passed the test. So, there's 1,916 matches of I will in the scriptures. And true, they're not all our Heavenly Father there. A good portion of them are our Lord Jesus says that in the New Testament. There's some cases really referring to the church, where we would say, I will do this or I will do that. And then if you change your search slightly, and because sometimes it says, will I do, or and then have I not done thus and so? When you look at those matches, you'll get another 369 with will I instead of I will. And some of them you'll see, it'll have those in the verses along with I will. And then another one, God will, you get 51. The Lord will, 108 more. God shall, another 79. The Lord shall, another 179. I mean, here's like 2,500 cases in the scriptures where ones are saying, I will, and then you take a look and find out, did he? If God passed his own test, we can be assured that he is God. And so, let's just take a look here. In Deuteronomy, here's another thing too, about the prophets of God. So we'll have them to the test here as well. Deuteronomy 8:22, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet that hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Don't worry about the prophets of doom that are saying that the earth is going to be destroyed when God says the earth abideth forever and he created it to be inhabited. He created it not in vain. In Isaiah chapter 14, 24, the Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. Isaiah 55, verse 9 through 11. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, making it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that whereunto I sent it. Did it? Well, would we get a blessing in looking about Malachi 3:10? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. He gave the God test. Prove it. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing such that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And by the way, if we actually took a quick run through this, we would have about 1 second per scripture to check it out in an hour. So obviously we can't hardly, we're just going to take a little bitty look. In Genesis, God formed a man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And he planted a garden east in Eden and put man in it that he had formed. And God said to him a promise. And the Lord said, this is Genesis 2:18, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmate for him. Did he? Absolutely. We've got evidence of that today. Fulfilled. Genesis 2:21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took out one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. So he promised it, he fulfilled it. That was really the first promise to mankind right there. Genesis 3:14, there was promise to the serpent that deceived Eve. Adam, of course, was not deceived. But Genesis 3:14 and 15. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this thing, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Fulfilled? Luke 8, chapter 10, verse 18. And he, Jesus, said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Satan was cursed there. The seed of the woman. Forasmuch that of Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 16. Forasmuch as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, our Lord Jesus there, might destroy him. The woman is destroying the power of Satan. Destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. When Jesus was faithful unto death, Satan was... That was his end guaranteed. And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For he took not on him the nature of angels to do this, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. So the seed of man was the destruction of the adversary, yet to be completely fulfilled. Mankind's going to need tested at the end of the mediatorial phase of the kingdom yet, before Satan's destroyed. And we got to have our testing before we're beyond the veil, too. So Satan's got a job to do for us there. And then God speaking to Eve, what did he tell her because of disobedience? Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bear children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Was this fulfilled? Anybody had any experience with that? Childbirth, was it just easy as pie like it would have been? I watched five of mine being born, and it was ouchy. And it wasn't even me giving birth. And then God said to Noah, Genesis 6:7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then Noah's on the ark. Of course, Noah pleaded to God. I mean, this was just a test for Noah there, I think, and offered up sacrifice to God, and God was well pleased. And Noah then and his family were protected in the ark. And I appreciated this scripture too, Genesis 7:4. And Noah, after the ark was sealed up and everything, says, for yet 7 days. So I think Noah was in the ark with his family there for 7 days, and it hadn't rained yet, which would have probably, a lot of ridicule would have been coming from outside. Yet for 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And so we appreciated that here God delivered Noah at his promise of Noah's faithfulness to God. And the flood waters came, and as the scriptures say, the highest mountains were covered. And we know that's true, because you go up on the highest mountain and there's evidences of sea life that had been there for a little bit. And then Noah then after the flood too offers up sweet savor to God in a burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. So that is another search you can do, is I have, because God says that over and over. And have I not? He says that too. Another search, you just kind of, these things pop into your mind as you're doing this, and you think, wow, there is so time. Well, everything that God said he will do, he will do. That's what he said. And he's proven it by the thousands, literally, of things he's already done that you can find in the scriptures. I will do it. I did do it, or I will do it yet. Like the restitution of all mankind, the resurrection from the dead, the giving of the earth back to humanity, those who desire it at the end of the mediatorial phase of the kingdom, absolute guarantee, there is no chance of that not happening. That always is that's a super comfort to me. If I don't make my calling and election sure, what difference will it make for mankind? Zero. They will be blessed. In Genesis 8, verse 22, while the earth remaineth, which the earth abideth forever, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. If there was a nuclear war, you would have winter for a few years. Not going to happen. Day and night, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter will not stop forever on planet Earth. Very simple. Very peaceful when you think about that. Whatever they want to do, doesn't matter. mankind can't do anything unless God permits it. He causes the wrath of man to praise him, and the rest he restrains, and has done that over and over again. If we look at the book of Daniel, at the prophecy of the image, or that he gave the, of the image, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know his vision and the meaning of his vision. And what did he tell him? That God would overturn the empires, Babylon, Medo, Persia, Greece, and Rome. I will overturn it. It wasn't a king on earth that decided to make that transition at the exact time that it was made. God decided that. What did the first one end? The 70 years desolation of Israel, so that the land could enjoy her Sabbaths 70 years. The king of the Medes and Persians coming to power and things like that were irrelevant. This was 70 years captivity to the nation of Israel, and they were the ones that God chose to take them over afterwards. The same thing in the other two transfers as well. It was in God's time and season, not man's. And it happened at exactly the timing that he set forth every time, and lasted for exactly the amount of time, the 2,520 years from 606 BC to 1914, the period that Nebuchadnezzar ate grass until seven times passed over him. All flesh is as grass, and he ruled over mankind and lived off of their king, lived off of the people. What does a true king do? He's going to bless, restore, and give the earth back to mankind. That's what our Lord Jesus, the true king, is going to do. He's not living off of anyone. Genesis 9, verse 11. God tells Noah here, "And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood." Has there been any that cut off all flesh off the earth since the flood with Noah? Never. Will there ever be any? No. "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." He tells them that twice. "And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I, God, will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." That's pretty comprehensive. Every living creature of all flesh, men and animals. "One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." Ecclesiastes 1:4. Daniel 2:44. "And in the days of these kings," kings of Babylon, Medo, Persia, Greece, and Rome, "shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms and stand forever." Then, Jesus at the end of the mediatorial phase of the kingdom, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand," that's the parable of the sheep and the goats, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." God planned for that really before he made it. Jesus was the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. The redeeming of mankind was in God's plan. The times of restitution spoken of by the mouth of all God's holy prophets since the world began, all talked of those days. And then God said to Abraham, Genesis 12:1. Oh, by the way, we're only going to take a look at some of Genesis here, because there's 88 verses with 105 matches of "I will" just in Genesis. Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto that land I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So, we've seen a few things before here, and a few big things that happened that God said he would do and he fulfilled. It's putting more evidence. This promise to Abraham is going to come true, and we know that Abraham as yet had not even set his foot in the land of Israel to own it. He's asleep in the grave, waiting for the resurrection. And then Abraham, this next part is the issue with Lot. And here actually in this one, this is Abraham saying to Lot, here's a will that is not our Heavenly Father. But what Abraham told him when they went into the land is, you know, there were the mountain and the plain here. And Abraham says, if you decide to go to the left, I'll go to the right. I will go to the right. If thou go to the right, then I will go to the left. Well, Lot chose the plain, and Abraham did what he said he would do. He went to the mountain. And so when we look at the ancient worthies too, it's nice anytime you say, I will, check it out and see if they did it. And what you find over and over again is the integrity they all had. They did everything they said every time they said that they would do it. Good lesson for all of us. Then, of course, there was the Abraham dealing with the king of Sodom, or with Sodom there, and you had that experience, and about, well, if there's 50 there, I won't destroy Sodom, but if there's not there, I will. And then Abraham is, you know, well, what if 45, then what if 40, 35? Oh, please don't get mad at me. What if there were 10? Would you spare them? Yep, I would. Well, how many were there? One with Lot. And so his wife turned around and turned into a pillar of salt. And so Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, but the one who was there was delivered. So no one that was faithful to God in any way was left in there. And then God said to Abraham concerning Sarah, Isaac, and Ishmael, Genesis 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her, and I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, king and kings of people shall be of her. And, of course, when we follow the genealogy down, you have David, king of Israel, you know, following the genealogy of Abraham there. And then verse chapter 17, verse 19, And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, because, you know, they thought, oh, this is not possible, we're too old. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. And with his seed after him. So his seed after him was Jacob. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him. And I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. 12 tribes of Israel. Did it happen? Really? Abraham, to the three men that he was talking about, he told them he'd fetch a morsel of bread, which he did, and he fed them, not realizing they were angels. And then the angels said to him, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and though, lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent, which was behind him, for she left. But did Sarah have a son? Did they name him Isaac? And did God give his promise to Isaac too? In thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And said to him, thy seed shall be as the stars of heaven, but didn't mention the sands of the seashore. And then, we got to go faster here. Way fast. And then, let's see, I got to skip down here. And God, through his angel, mentions that to Abraham, mentions the Abrahamic promise here. Genesis 22:15. Let's see. Yep. It's a little different stated in here than what we read before. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing. What had he done? God asked him to take his only begotten son Isaac up and offer him as a sacrifice on an altar, sacrifice to God. We know that wonderful story. And God, after he had done that, said to him through the angel, in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore, and in thy and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And the scripture, Galatians 3:8, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, and he said, not unto seeds as of many, but as to one seed, which is Christ. Verse 16 and 29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So this wonderful promise, all of the rest of God's promises were coming true one by one. This is a promise for the church, for us. Then, looking at a bride for Isaac, and Eliezer was sent, and in Genesis 24:3, and I will make swear by the Lord God of heaven and the God of earth that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son, this Abraham talked to the daughters of the Canaanites with whom I dwell. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give the, I will, but Rebecca would, he didn't know that would be who it is, but I will give thy camels to drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, whereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master? It's Eliezer, wanting to know from God, okay, what, Abraham sent me on this mission, what am I supposed to do? And then in verse 19, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. You know, why did I come here for you? And she say to me, verse 44, drink thou, and I will drink also, draw also for thy camels, let the same woman be whom the Lord hath appointed for my master's son. So it was God that chose the bride for Isaac. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels to drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels to drink also. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Did she? Yes, she did. And it was told to her, this is very interesting, I think, considering what the population of earth was going to be, or we know that it'll be in the kingdom, as billions. Genesis 24, verse 60. Here's what her family told her. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. Well, what are thousands of millions? Billions. Before any of this ever happened. And so that was prophetic there. Let thy seed possess the gate of those who hate them. So her seed, the church here, we're hated. Jesus was hated. We're going to possess the gates of those who hated us. And we're going to make them our friends. Be the ultimate death of our enemies. And then God said to Isaac, Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and to thy seed will I give all of these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto thy father Abraham. He says, I will do that. Has he done that yet? No. Not happened. And I will make thy seed multiply in the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In the future, guaranteed. And Genesis, let's see here, I need to skip down a little bit more. Then the promise to Jacob. Where's that promise come from? Genesis 28, verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. Isaac, the land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. No mention of the stars of heaven there. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and the south, and in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. Has this been true? I am with thee, will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. So this promise was given to Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel was scattered amongst all of the nations of the earth. I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. Is the nation of Israel back in their land? No longer shall it be said, The Lord liveth who gathered the children out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth who gathered the children of Israel out of all of the nations wherein he scattered them. Fulfilled. They're back over there. Ancient worthies aren't on the scene yet, so there's more to it, but they are there. So Israel is back in their land. And then, of course, there's lessons with Joseph. There too, and there's I wills in there, and about how his sons would be blessed. And then remember, Hagar thought she was going to lose Ishmael, but there was a promise for Ishmael. And she gave him up, left him behind, and walked a little ways away and prayed that God, you're not making good on your promise. And he opened her eyes, and he told, yes, I will. And he opened her eyes, and she saw a well before her, went and got water, and recovered her son, and he became the nation. So then let's take a look at the exceeding great and precious promises. I did a search for I Will in the Exceeding Great and Precious Promises book. this is wonderful to note as you look. And here, think of these. Has this promise been fulfilled for you? Now go, therefore, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Exodus 4:12. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Exodus 33:14. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm 32:8. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. What an honor we all have being here. And have we been delivered from experiences we've been in? Would we be here? Just think, like, would we be here if we weren't? We wouldn't. So we were. And fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. There's another three I wills in one verse, just like the previous one. For the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's a lot of help. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the fire kindle upon thee. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some thing happened unto you. That's our experience in the narrow way. Have we been burned up and destroyed? Again, we wouldn't be here if we were. We were delivered every time. Isaiah 46:10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have proposed it, I will also do it. So our deliverance is guaranteed if we keep our faith and trust in the Lord. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, will I hear. What does that mean? If we're in dire straits or needing any kind of help from the Lord, and we pray for His assisting grace to help in time of need, what we should always pray and watch. Don't pray without watching and don't watch without praying. But when we look back to find out how we were helped in the experience, we've all been always helped. When we find we've been helped, we need to look back before we prayed and note the overruling providences that were already happening. Before we ask, even, because they are there, guaranteed. Before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, will I hear. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. So when we call to the Lord, is it a question as to whether He's going to answer or not? I mean, hey, the answer may be no. I mean, we might ask Him for a jet airplane. Well, they... Be careful, though. If you ask it, you might actually get one. You'll find out that was a bad idea. The consuming amount of time, how long it took to get a pilot's license, you could go on and... not good. Don't pray for anything the Lord doesn't want you to ask. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And then that's the exceeding great and precious promises in the Old Testament. There are another group of exceeding great and precious promises in the New Testament, of course, from our Lord Jesus, all of the blessings that he gives for us. We'll let you look them up on your own there. And let's switch to the church. Remember Ruth and Naomi? Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, and put yourself in her position, because that's who you are. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." She wasn't an Israelite. She was a Gentile. And, of course, she had that privilege of being there. And what was the bottom line of what happened there? Remember, Naomi told Ruth what to do about going to before Boaz and uncovering his feet and laying at his feet and so forth. And he wakes up and like, uh-oh. and then she talks to, or explains to him. And here's his answer. "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do unto thee all that thou requestest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." And what's happened there? Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. What an honor Ruth had, and we think she is no doubt one of the ancient worthies. And this is in the genealogy of Jesus. "And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, David's father." So Ruth, because of her faithfulness and desire to serve the Lord, ended up being in the genealogy of our Savior. Then, how about us? Do we say, "I will"? A vow unto the Lord. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy rule come into my heart more and more, and thy will be done in my mortal body, relying on the assistance of thy praise to help in every time of need. I register this vow. Daily will I remember at the throne of heavenly grace. I vow to still more carefully. I vow to thee that I will be on the alert. I shall resist the snares as being of the adversary. I further vow, with the exceptions below, about who I would be with." And then how about our morning resolve? "My earliest thought I desire shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. I will pay my vows unto the Most High." I will skip a little bit. "I will today, as a saint of God, fulfill my vows. I will strive to be simple and sincere toward all. I will seek not to please and honor self, but the Lord. I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my word is sumptuous and blessed to all. I will seek to be faithful to the truth, the Lord, the truth, the brethren, and all with whom I have to do, not only in great matters, but the little things of life, trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare. I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust him, come what may." Isaiah 40, verse 31, in closing. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall